Catherine Lee Ryder here, welcoming you to my new series of podcasts based on my ebook, Destruction of Love, A Journey to Freedom. This book is a true story of living and leaving an abusive relationship. It was written with the intent of helping abused women identify the truth about their relationship. The first step into healing is removing the denial. Knowledge is power. Abused women cannot always identify that they are targets of abuse. This book contains eye-opening details of abusive type personalities, including, but not limited to, power, manipulation, and control. Within the pages of this book, women can begin to discover the knowledge they need to turn their life around. Written in a format offering motivation through positive reinforcement, this book can and will spark faith, hope, and determination within any abused woman. Destruction of Love, A Journey to Freedom is only the first book in a series dedicated to help abused women worldwide find a whole new beginning in their life. Written in a unique format, it blends a real-life story with valuable, insightful knowledge. This book contains within it a unique, one-of-a-kind roadmap to freedom. What you are about to hear is the first chapter of my book, Destruction of Love, A Journey to Freedom. Day 1. August the 2nd in the year 2000 was the day I began to spread my wings and fly to freedom. That Wednesday in August, more than 10 years ago, began as a warm, bright day, but the sky clouded over, and before noon, it began raining. It was as if the weather was reflecting my emotions. From the moment I woke, before I even opened my eyes, I had to break the day into segments, some lasting only minutes, to prevent from feeling overwhelmed. Each step was exhausting. My husband's violence and manipulation had shattered the love I held for him. After our 23-year relationship, I was so beaten down that getting back up seemed impossible. But it was at this low point that I began to feel a new sense of strength. Blake's abuse had chipped away at my independence and sense of self, but it had also awakened and then strengthened my determination to find a new life. He had conditioned me to fear his anger. Nothing would enrage him more than leaving, but staying was impossible. The only way out was to escape after he had gone to work. Any other way was too dangerous. 5 a.m. Waking up, I am alert for sounds of Blake. I hear him in the kitchen getting ready for work, but am afraid to open my eyes. My heart feels like it might jump out of my chest. My body begins to shake. But after I hear him leave, I am paralyzed with fear as I wait to hear the front door lock behind him. The door closes, the lock turns. He's gone. I opened my eyes and watched the clock for exactly 10 minutes before slowly climbing out of bed. Anxiety rises as I stand, and a surge of panic seems to overwhelm the core of my being, turning my thoughts chaotic. Still, there is an energy, a determination, and faith that pushes me forward and seems to reinforce itself the more I am mindful of it. I repeat, like affirmations, 4 statements in my head. I am determined to find a new life. I have faith my children will someday understand. I have faith I will be kept safe. I have faith Blake will not return early. Shaking off the fear, I begin to pack while our children, Jade and Hudson, lay sleeping peacefully in their beds. It was only 3 weeks ago that I finally decided to leave this destructive marriage. As soon as I decided, everything started happening at lightning speed. Within a week, I had finalized the purchase of my new home. That led to multiple appointments with my lawyer, arranging a mortgage at the bank, transferring utilities into my name, and ordering a telephone line and cable television, all without Blake's knowledge. Everything had to be done in secrecy. Jade and Hudson were on summer vacation. I could not let them suspect anything. I couldn't even pack in advance. 7:30 a.m. It is time to wake Jade and Hudson. They jump out of bed with excitement, knowing that my mother's plans to take them to the zoo and then for a swim. I try my best to smile until they are safely out of the house. This is more difficult than I thought it would be. The effect on my children has weighed heavily on me. I had sought advice from counselors and professionals. They all said the same. Children are extremely resilient, and that is much healthier to teach them that love is not supposed to hurt than it is to raise them in an abusive home. Research, they told me, indicates the adjustment period will be about 2 years. I pushed a nagging sense of guilt aside by focusing on the life I want to give them, the safety of a loving, caring home. I want them to understand that love is respectful and kind, not controlling and angry. They deserve a better home. The minute Jade and Hudson are out the door, I call my friend. Paige, I tell her almost breathlessly. Jade and Hudson just left the house. She said, Susan and I will be right there, referring to another friend. I continue packing, now more quickly. I can feel anxiety building within. My mind is swirling. I try to hold on to my faith, but fear is exploding into a powerful headache. I become confused and disoriented by what-if scenarios. My biggest fear is Blake returning home before I leave. I try to stay positive. I try to think of a life full of love, harmony, and joy. All I can do is imagine one. Challenges, I tell myself, are placed before us so we may rise to the occasion and find a new version of ourselves. I had planted my seeds to freedom months ago, and I am determined to let them grow. Nothing, no one, is going to stop me from making my break today. I can hardly believe I am doing this. Where am I getting the strength? Alongside the fear, I begin feeling gratitude. I am truly blessed to be breaking free. Blake's abuse escalated in April 2000 after he found out I intended to leave. Intense abuse, as well as struggles for power and control, dominated the next 4 months. Without my family and friends, I would have lost my mind. The struggle led me to what I have thought was a final day of reckoning. I believed that once I fled the matrimonial home, I would be living the life I had dreamed of. However, I soon discovered nothing could have been farther from the truth. Blake would not let go easily. My father arrives shortly after my mother leaves with the children. I feel much safer. Dad has been my pillar of strength since my marriage began to break down. Prior to summer, he visited me every weekday after Jade and Hudson went to school. He would spend every morning with me, listening and guiding me to stand strong against Blake's abuse, manipulation, and control. After my father, my sister Tabitha, one of my closest, dearest friends at the time, arrives. She is another pillar of strength in my life, my confidant and mentor. Next page, our friend Susan and my two nephews arrive to make this move a reality. The action begins. Dad is the group manager, making sure everything runs effectively and with utmost efficiency. Tabitha takes on the role of supervisor and organizer. Any questions are directed to her. By the time the truck arrives, the packing is well underway. This is when things really begin to speed up. The first load is ready to go. It heads to my new home. In less than an hour, the men return with the truck. Round two begins. Blake and I have lived in our home for 7 years. Some of the neighbors are curious and bold enough to approach the movers with questions. The movers tell me one neighbor asked whether Blake knows I am moving out. They replied that they didn't know anything. No one knows. Ignorant people are quick to make judgments based on their perceptions of how things look on the outside. One neighboring family bought into Blake's story to such a degree that to this day they will walk by me on the street without acknowledging who I am. Ignorance is bliss to those who like to stand in judgment. Once the truck is loaded with the last of my possessions, everyone but Tabitha and I go to my new home. While I am cleaning, Tabitha tells me she is leaving. Panic strikes. What if Blake comes home? I don't want to be here alone. My sister sits tight and waits for our father to return. 2 p.m. I finish cleaning just as Dad and my nephew returns. The time has arrived to say goodbye to the life I once knew. I lock the back doors and take one final look around the empty home that has been mine for the last 7 years. Jade was less than 3 years old and Hudson not yet born when we moved in. It has seen love, hatred, laughter, tears, joy, and sadness. Strangely, it is unbelievably hard to leave. Sadness almost overwhelms me. However, if Blake had felt any concern for our family, he would have taken a step back to consider the best plan of action for our children. Allowing Jade and Hudson to remain in this home with their mother would have helped them feel safe and secure while our marriage ended. There would have been less disruption. Blake was thinking only of what he wanted. He refused to let go of our marriage, repeatedly insisting it was not over. When he finally began to realize my mind was made up and there was no changing it, he switched tactics. "You can leave, but the children must stay," he warned. He had little to do with their upbringing, but if I left, I would have to leave them with him. There was no way I would let this happen. Taking one last look around the home, I shut and lock the front door. Emotions rise like a flood. I once loved him more than life itself. It is not my desire to inflict pain on Blake, even after the abuse I suffered through the years. However, the day of reckoning has arrived. It is now a case of survival. It seems to me that if Blake can't have me, he insists on destroying me. I am a survivor, refusing to bow down to his demands. I cannot stay with him one more day. Lawyers told me, do not leave without the children, or you will never get them back. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Standing on the front lawn, I cannot stop crying. Dad steps forward to lift my spirits and help me through my turmoil. "Catherine, Blake forced your hand on this one. He left you no choice," he tells me. But knowing and understanding why I am doing this does nothing to stop me from thinking about Blake. What happens when he comes home to find an empty house with his family gone? I don't want to leave this way. I wish there was an alternative, but there isn't. Feeling too emotional to operate a vehicle, I asked my nephew to drive us to my new home. When I arrive, I remember the advice to call the local police and warn that Blake may react violently. One of his hobbies is deer hunting, and he has no shortage of rifles and ammunition. Several people, including me, could be in danger. The police ask for my new address and my parents. They assure me they will be on alert for an emergency telephone call from either one. They suggest we remain in hiding for 48 hours. Apparently, this is a good cooling down period for people like Blake. My nephew runs outside to remove the sold sign off the front lawn. Paige offers to hide my van behind her home for a few days. I'm on the final stretch to freedom, or so I think. 4 p.m. My mother arrives with Jade and Hudson. They are excited about swimming in the backyard pool. Until they walk through the front door, they stop dead in their tracks. "What is our furniture doing in this house? Where is Dad? What have you done?" They started crying and screaming. Nothing could have prepared me for this, but something is providing me with the strength to maneuver through this day. I walk forward to greet them. Taking their hands, I lead them upstairs. Of course they hated their bedrooms at first glance. What else could I expect? After a quick glance at her room, Jade makes her way back down the stairs to the living room to be with her grandma. Jade was born with a natural intuition and many years later informed me that this move was of no shock to her. Hudson, on the other hand, is devastated. He runs into the room, into my room, flopping his face onto the bed. A few minutes later, he sits up. "Will Dad come here after work?" "No, Hudson. I have left your dad. This is our new home." He begins yelling at me. If Dad dies of a broken heart, it is your fault. I hang my head in despair. Yes, Hudson, it will be my fault. The urge to take responsibility for everything kicks into my psyche again. Why do I think I am responsible? I feel I am responsible because I have been brainwashed to believe everything is my fault. The truth is, Blake abused me for 23 years. It was his actions that destroyed my love for him. He was the one who refused to end our marriage in a civil manner. It was his control, manipulation, and anger that caused me to reach deep within myself to find the courage I needed to escape the grip he held in me. Blake's attempts at destroying me brought about his own destruction. Standing where I am today, it is easy to see he had only himself to blame. I silently pray, Lord, please keep Blake safe. Please surround him with your love and carry him through this terrible shock. My heart is breaking for my children. I am seriously concerned about Blake. And once again, my needs, wants, and desires are of no concern to me. I deserve the backlash, I tell myself. I wanted it all to be different. 5:30 p.m. Blake's immediate reaction, as usual, is to place the blame on someone else. He telephones my father, yelling at the top of his lungs, "You have just destroyed my family. This is your fault. You and your money will cause Catherine to lose everything. I am going to sue her for desertion." Blake is obviously screaming in fear himself. Why else would he be lashing about? In Blake's world, pain deserves pain. In hindsight, I can see this clearly. My father is concerned by Blake's threats. I do my best to reassure him, telling him that all options were thoroughly researched through lawyers and the local Women's Resource Center. It's the same old story. Even so, there's a small voice in my head asking, what if? I decide to call my lawyer first thing in the morning. I desperately want to believe everything is okay. However, leaving Blake did not magically give me a new personality. I still shake when he confronts me with his anger and aggression. The only difference is I have managed to slide out from under his control for the first time. This step forward gives me a bit of confidence and helps me keep my faith. Some say karma is a natural consequence of past actions. If this holds any truth, Blake is experiencing what he deserves for all the pain he has inflicted on his family. But what I don't know is that the abuse Jade, Hudson, and I had suffered would be a walk in the park compared to what Blake is about to drag us through. This is the end of chapter 1. I invite you to visit my website at www.journeytofreedom.ca. You can even share your story about any abuse in your life or find links to join me on Twitter or Facebook. For now, this is Catherine Lady Ryder signing off and wishing you the life of your dreams. Blessings.